Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here in our studios. Paul Wood is with us this morning. Among the other things he's got going on in his life, he's also a member of the Atlantic Fire Department. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. This past week was Fire Prevention Week, and usually that's kind of a big thing here in Atlantic. We celebrate with a fundraising breakfast. We celebrate with a parade, and I know you spend a lot of time educationally with children during the course of that week, too. Like other things this year, that kind of got messed up a little bit. Tough not to get the word out like that.
We were still able to do a couple programs. Jack and Jill allowed us to come in. We did all our programs outside with them, socially distancing. But it was still nice. We got to give them the fire truck ride, got to go through our program with them. We recorded one of the programs and put it on our Facebook page for the kindergartners and the preschool, the early learning center was able to give their kids the program also.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what you talk with those kids? What do you try to share with them?
Oh, most of it's talking about what number to call, the 911 number to call, what we do if we find matches or lighters, who to give those to, what would happen if your clothes caught on fire. We do the stop, drop, and roll with them. Normally we have our fire truck, Freddy. He comes out with us, and Sparky, the fire dog, comes. They weren't able to do that this year. We kind of had to leave them home due to all the circumstances. But a lot of it is don't play with fire. Stay away. Be careful.
I grew up in a different place, but we did the same kind of things when we were kids all those years ago. Has the program changed a lot over the years? Is it still trying to get the kids' attention and hope they bring the message home to mom and dad?
Yes, it's more of just getting them acquainted with, okay, don't play with fire, what to look for, try not to do, and just things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at least get them... The kindergartners, we go into more. We have a little phone that basically will simulate you calling into the dispatch center with an emergency. So they know their address, know their phone number, and just things like that to do.
Yeah, that kind of situation can be pretty traumatic for a child, all of a sudden to be thrown in a really adult situation like that.
Yes, it would be. So it's kind of nice to get the kids comfortable with calling in and talking to somebody like that. So it was kind of sad we didn't get to do that with the kindergartners, but for the most part we got a few in and did as much as we could with them.
Yeah, I know part of the goal always is to make sure you try to hit all the students as they're coming through the grades, that at least once in their lives they'll get that opportunity to experience those things when they're young. And We'll continue to work on all those kinds of things. But, you know, we did miss out on a couple of things. The parade is always a really big deal each year. You get a lot of support from a lot of area fire departments. A lot of other organizations help to support. It's kind of disappointing. It's a nice visible reminder for folks.
Yeah, we didn't get to do our breakfast that usually kicks off Fire Prevention Week, or do the parade that wraps up Fire Prevention Week. It's hopefully next year we get to do it, and maybe later on this year we'll do... Or next year, we'll do the breakfast.
Sure. What are some things that the folks should be reminded each year during fire prevention time?
The biggest thing is make sure you have working smoke detectors in your house. Always check the batteries once a year.
What's the shelf life on smoke detectors? How often should you consider changing those out?
With any technology, I wouldn't go more than probably 5, maybe 10 years on something like that. Mm-hmm. Because they come up with newer, better versions of everything. So I wouldn't wait too long to change them out.
Sure. Well, and I've noticed some of the newer smoke detectors, too. I know some folks, it drives them crazy when they hear those things start beeping, because it's always in the middle of the night when the batteries are going low. And there have been some models in the past that have been a little difficult to change out those batteries at times and get them to stop doing that, but they've been a lot more user-friendly here lately.
Yes, they've definitely made them a lot easier to change the batteries and everything else. So.
Yeah. Are there any other tips that folks should be aware of? What about like CO2 detectors and things like that? Do you encourage those?
Yeah, we do. If you've got them in there, make sure you put them in your house. Check those. Check the batteries. Most of those are plug-in, but they do also have a battery in them as backup. So just make sure that battery is working correctly, just in case your power does go out.
You still respond to a fair number of fires where there are no smoke detectors or working smoke detectors, and perhaps that could have changed the outcome?
Yes, we do. We have gone to some fires where there is no working smoke detectors. I don't know if it changed the outcome of the house catching on fire, but everybody was out at the time, so I don't know. Hopefully it would help.
Sure.
And you should always have them in there. And if you don't have any, we can always help you get some. We can at least see if find some way to somehow help you out and get you smoke detectors.
Sure. Okay, very good. We do a lot, as you mentioned, with that breakfast at the beginning, too. It does raise some funds. What do you usually use those funds for?
A lot of it goes back towards giving material, and we give, every year we give the kids, most of the kids, a fire helmet, some stickers and things like that through Fire Prevention Week, and a lot of it goes to help pay for that stuff and little things like that.
The reminder type things to keep it fresh in their minds.
Yes.
Keep them thinking about those kinds of things. Talk about the overall health of the fire department. Where are you guys at right now? Are you pretty well staffed?
Yes, we're fully staffed. Everybody's good and just kind of going on calls when we have to. So.
Yeah. There's always a chance. I mean, you get people that just kind of come. Well, let's go back to you, I guess, first. Why did you join the fire department? How long have you been a member?
I've been a member now for about 12 years.
Okay. Why'd you join?
Just always wanted to become a fireman, but I always wanted to volunteer. Never did it in my hometown when I was going to. I was kind of transitioning in between jobs, so I just waited until I got settled in here and went and joined the fire department.
So what was the process like for you? Did you approach them about this then, for folks who might be thinking about that as a possibility?
Yes. You got to go in. You got to call. There's an application process. Mm-hmm. Fill out an application, and there is an interview between the chief and the two assistant chiefs, and then they bring it to the members, and all the members vote on it.
Sure. And then the training starts.
Yes.
And it never stops.
Correct. most of the time, you have to go through for what's called Firefighter 1.
Right.
They require that as you become. And then you're always training. We usually have monthly trainings. We have it at the meetings, and we have a training night. And then also, if you go into the EMS side, there's a lot more training on that also.
And I don't think that's something people always necessarily understand. They drive by a community's fire station, a fire hall, and they see all the equipment and things, and you immediately think, well, that's where the money goes, because there's a lot of money invested in the equipment. But there's also quite a bit of money that has to be invested in training.
Yes, there is a lot of money. It's not cheap to outfit firemen for the gear, the training, all that.
A lot of time spent, so we appreciate the folks that do that, too. Next year, kind of look ahead, I guess, into this next year. You had a chance to visit with the kids, as we mentioned. Unfortunately, a few things had to be canceled. Well, at one time, we used to have this big fire parade, and then it went away for quite some time, and then it came back. Is the goal to bring this back again right away next year?
Yes, we will bring it back next year, as long as everything slows down with COVID. It will be back.
If folks want to support it?
Yeah.
You'll do it.
Yeah.
How much effort do you put into preparing and planning for the week?
I know the guys who do the parade and get everything lined up, that's basically a year-long process. They start talking to the people right after the parade and try to set up things for people to come and get them here and get them locked into being able to come.
Yeah, catch them while they're here.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just you. You have a group of folks that help to do that?
Yes, I don't do the parade. Fire Chief Tom Capel is still in charge of the parade, mm-hmm. but he has a group of people that help him and do all that.
Okay, you do a lot with the educational side.
Yes, I help with the Fire Prevention Week, and I get things set up with the schools and set up that, get guys to help, and get the kids their fire truck rides, usually.
So if a community group wanted to have a presentation, that's always available too?
Oh, yeah. If a community group wants it, we've had groups come out to the fire station. I don't know how much this year we'll do that. We could come talk to them somewhere, usually outside, but okay. Yeah, we'll go talk to them and all that.
Always call and ask the questions.
Yep.
Might get a good answer.
Yes.
Very good. Well, Paul, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it. As I said, I know it's kind of disappointing. It wasn't as big an opportunity this year with Fire Prevention Week as we usually have, but we'll just keep working ahead and planning toward next year.
Yep. Good enough. Thank you.
Thanks so much.